Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You know, when it comes to getting your cholesterol balance, we've learned that there are balances of good and bad, you know, your HDL, your LDL, your triglycerides, and things like that. And we've learned that it's not just about the total picture, it's about what things and how they add up to get to that total picture. When it comes to omega-3 and omega-6, learning the gentle balance of these two dietary fats is kind of important, and it's something a little bit more intricate than we may think. Udo, when people think omega-3 and omega-6, and they know they've heard about both of them, sometimes they hear all the bad things about omega-6, and they haven't heard any of the good things. There is an intricate balance, but there's also a balance that we should be trying to achieve on a daily basis.
Right. Yeah, the first thing is that omega-6s, for all the bad-mouthing that we've done to them, they're essential for every cell in the body. Again, means can't make them, got to have them. Got to get them from food. If you don't get enough, you go down. If you don't get enough long enough, you die. But if you bring them back before you die, then all the problems that come from not getting enough are reversed. So omega-6s fit that definition. So do omega-3s, and so do the minerals, the vitamins, and the amino acids that are essential. So omega-6 is essential for every cell in the body. What we're blaming on omega-6s should be blamed on the damage done to them by industrial processing and food preparation. And that distinction, people don't want to talk about processing, especially the people who do the studies, because if they talk about the damage done by processing, then the people who give them their grants to do the studies, will they won't give them the grants, because you don't want to badmouth the industry that makes the money that they then spend on. So there's like a collusion. Like an inadvertent collusion there, you know, because they're trying to protect their income to do the research, but then they don't get to say what the research actually says. So the processing in all of food, processing is the biggest issue. You know, you start with a potato, you end up with a French fry. You know, you start with a grain of wheat and you end up with white flour. You start with a beet and you end up with white sugar. What has happened between the beet and the sugar, between the grain, the grain and the white flour, is huge change. Removing things, adding things, create damaging molecules. So that's really the issue where the changes need to happen. Eat whole foods. Eat unprocessed foods as much as possible. Grow them in your backyard. I think we should tear up our front and back yards and grow vegetables in our gardens, because then you know what you're getting, and you're getting it fresh, because the vegetables you get in your supermarket are already a week old. In Canada, where I am, you know, they're maybe 2 weeks old in winter, you know, because they're coming from California, or sometimes they come from Florida. Mm-hmm. So fresh food was life's mandate. Life's mandate was fresh, whole, raw, organic, in season, locally grown, and sun ripe or winter ripe. So that was the standard that life set for all creatures on the planet, and only we have deviated big time from that, and the animals that depend on us for food sometimes don't get fresh or raw organic food either. So it's a big issue. So omega-6s, they're associated with two kinds of inflammation. One is inflammation in healing. And they're part of the process of healing. And when the healing is done, then the inflammation disappears. And that's acute inflammation that happens after injury, which involves swelling and pain and redness and that kind of stuff. And then there's a second kind of inflammation they're associated with, and that's chronic, somewhat low-grade inflammation, sometimes more intense inflammation in various places. And that kind of inflammation that's chronic, that comes from omega-6s, comes from the damaged omega-6 molecules that linger in the body because the immune system doesn't know what to do with them and hasn't got a method for breaking them down. And so that distinction, again, should be made. It's the processing, it's the inflammation that comes from processing that is the problem with omega-6s. Omega-6s have a very important function to play in every cell in the body. Now, there is a balancing system between what omega-6s do and the omega-3s do. The omega-3s keep the omega-6s from getting out of line. That's part of their job. And when you get too much omega-6 but not enough omega-3, which is the situation in around the world these days, then you're going to also get more problems that are based on inflammation and certain hormones that are made from omega-6s that are pro-inflammatory. Well, you bring omega-3s in your diet, and they stop the omega-6s from getting out of hand. And that's why we have so many diseases that start with inflammation, including diabetes and the cancers and Alzheimer's and the rheumatic diseases and all of those. That inflammation, the research is very clear. Omega-3s actually in the body are converted, not all of them, but part of it is converted into very powerful anti-inflammatories. They're called resolvents because they resolve inflammation.
True.
That's what the doctor says when your inflammation goes away. It's been resolved. And also make very powerful antioxidants from omega-3s called protectants, because they protect your tissue from damage that leads to inflammation. And these are made out of omega-3s, and then omega-3 also turns into hormones that compete with the pro-inflammatory, and these omega-3 made hormones are anti-inflammatory. So they keep the omega-6s in check. So the balance is really important. In the population, the balance is somewhat 10 times more omega-6, maybe even 20 times more omega-6s mm-hmm. than omega-3s, and the balance should be more like 1-to-1, even 2-to-1 in favor of omega-3s, because omega-3s do so much for energy and do so much for skin and for brain function and for healing, for decreasing inflammation. So they have so many therapeutic, powerfully therapeutic effects that we actually push the omega-3s. If you get more than you need, the body just burns them off as energy. And in winter, that keeps you warm, which is very nice. They come from the northern climates, closer to the poles, closer to the north and south pole. and they're the single most widespread essential nutrient deficiency of our time, because 99% of the population doesn't get enough for optimum health. So we emphasize those just to make it clear for people that they're getting enough omega-3s and they're not being, you know, if you get too much 6 and too much too little 3, the 6s crowd out the 3s because they compete in the body. So the balance is important. So we high grade the omega-3s to make sure that the omega-3s that are too low in just about everybody's diet actually get through and get to do their job.
Now, let me ask you a question real quick. This is important. Years ago, I did a show with you, and you mentioned something, and I've never forgot it, and I'm paraphrasing, but the idea was to imagine the inside of your body, and there's this dinner table. And at the dinner table, there's a bunch of chairs around the table, and one chair has got trans fats, one has got hydrogenated oil, the other one's got bad fat, unstabilized fat, one's got rancid fats. Then there's two little chairs at the end of omega-3, and there's a big old couch sitting next to it loaded with omega-6. And these are what are kind of residing in your body. And it's not just enough for us to bring in these good, healthy oils. We have to make more room at the table. We have to kick some of them to the curb to make more room for the good ones. It's not just about bringing in the good. It's also about backing out and eliminating the bad. True?
Yes, it's true. But practically speaking, if you bring in the good stuff, you got less room for the bad stuff already.
That's
it's just
too.
That you have to give that priority.
Yeah.
The only thing that human beings need to do when it comes to fats and oils, they got to make sure they bring in and optimize omega-3 and omega-6, undamaged, organic, no pesticides, not treated with harsh chemicals, in the right ratio, and to the level of a tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight per day. So that's like 2-4 tablespoons for most people. And when you do that, you've already crowded out other stuff that you would otherwise have put in there. So, yes, it makes sense. When I go out, if there's something that has margarine in it or shortening in it, I won't eat it because I know there's trans fatty acids in that. And I don't, you know, I don't eat fried foods. I'm pretty diligent about that most of the time. And because, but even more important is before I even leave home and go to the restaurant, I've already taken the oils I need because I have them in my house. I make sure I have them in my house. I make sure that I take them, and I do it every day. And when that's in place, it cuts me some slack for saturated fats because they're not bad. They're just bad if you don't have enough essential fatty acids. And it basically crowds out some of the other things that I would otherwise be doing. You know, we like the taste of fat, but then make it the good fats and taste and really taste them and really make sure that, they can do their job in your body because it's important.
I had a question from someone. They knew we were going to be on this topic today, and they're a big believer in the Udo's oil. They've been using it for a long time, and they wanted me to ask you this question. They use it with vinegar, and they use it as a salad dressing. They pour it over their vegetables. They put it over their salmon and things like that. But and I know the answer, but I thought I told them I would ask you. Yeah. They want to know if they could also use it. They're finding creative ways to use it, and they have smoothies every morning, very healthy smoothies. They're wondering, yeah, is that an applicable way of using it?
Totally.
Okay.
Oils are compatible with all foods. You can put them on fruits, you can put them on vegetables, you can put them on starches. But if you eat a lot of starch and good oils, you'll actually put on some weight. Mm-hmm. So starches really ought to decrease in your body. Get your carbohydrates from green vegetables. And they go with protein. Literally go with anything. And you can use them in cold food, in warm food, in hot food, as long as the food's not hotter than boiling water temperature. The only thing you don't want to use them for is frying. Mm-hmm. If you fry your foods, don't do it. But if you do, then after the food's off the fire, you can still add omega-3s to them. But it's not a good idea to burn your food. So I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, it's not good for you, but, you know, it tastes so good. It doesn't taste so good. Burnt food tastes awful. You know, if you scrape that burnt stuff off and put it on a spoon and eat it, it squeaks between your teeth. It's acrid, bitter, and it tastes disgusting. Burnt food is disgusting, even to your taste buds, if you don't just wolf it down. And we tend to, you know, so people say to me, what do you mean? You want me to boil my steak? I said, yeah, that's what we used to do. We cut it up in little cubes, threw it in the stew with the vegetables, boiled it in water, and it tasted great. And it wasn't burnt, and it didn't make us sick. And it didn't give us cancer when we were 8 and you know, arthritis when we were 10.
You know, I think most people just have a hard time grasping the idea that we really need to take back our health and our kitchens again. We've gotten very, you know, very comfortable, you know, and I always say these comfort zones are comfortable. They're familiar, but they're rarely healthy.
Yeah, and the coffin is comfortable too.
Yeah, there you go.
The early coffin, right?
There you go.
Well, yeah, it, no.
It's difficult.
Yeah. Well, the thing is this. Look, you got given, you're a life, and you got given a body. True. Whose responsibility is your body?
Mine.
Your mother's? Yeah, when you're a kid. Your government's? No, your government's not your mother. By the time you're 20 years old and able to vote, you need to be thinking for yourself. You need to be standing on your own feet. You need to be self-responsible, at least with your health. You can't do everything, but at least with your health, because you're the guy who shoves it in your mouth. And all you do is like everything, life does everything. You know, it digests the food, absorbs the nutrients, takes them where they need to go, builds them in, you know, everywhere in your body. It's all done for you. You don't have to think about it. The only thing that life asks of you is that you bring in and optimize the building blocks that life needs to do its job of making you a healthy body. And that you don't bring in poisons that interfere with life's ability to make your body. That's all that's asked of you. So only when you're shoving stuff in your mouth is there a place where you want to be clear about why you're eating. It's not for taste. It's actually for building blocks to build a body that will serve you for a long life. And if you're not taking responsibility, your doctor can't take that responsibility mm-hmm. for you. He can just throw some drugs at it and try and figure out, trying to clean up the mess, cut out the tumors, whatever it is. But your doctor cannot take responsibility for your health. That's what I learned when the doctor said, we don't have anything for pesticide poisoning. So like, oh my God, my health is actually my responsibility. And when I took it, things changed. I don't know how else. You know, your lawyer can't do it. Your politicians can't do it. Your religious leaders can't do it. You are the only one who can really be self-responsible for what you put in your body, so that life can build you a healthy body. You know, I don't know if it can. I don't know if it can be any clearer than that.
No, I don't think it can either. I have a friend that the other day, and she's one of those go-to people that's always fixing everybody, and everybody goes to her, and her own life has been put on the back burner for so long, and she's finally gotten ill, and she's has to start focusing, and she says, "I feel so guilty focusing on myself," and I said, "Good, welcome. It's about time that you got a little selfish and thought about your own health, because you're not going to be any good to yourself or any of those people if you don't start regrouping."
Well, my view is, look, it's not selfish to give time to enjoy your life. You know why? Because it's your gift. It was only given to you. And if you don't enjoy your life, nobody can enjoy it for you, and it becomes a wasted gift. And frankly, if you want to help people, help them from fullness, don't help them from emptiness. Help them, you know, model for them what you want to teach them. Don't teach them and not apply it to yourself. And if you don't apply it to yourself, you're not a healer. You're basically a wounded healer who proves their worth by helping other people, because you don't actually feel like you're worthwhile. But everybody's worthwhile. That's why you're here. If life didn't think you were worthwhile, it would have recycled your body long ago.
But
you are worthwhile. Every human being that's alive is worthwhile.
It's a philosophy.
Needs to know that.
We have to put it into our brain and apply it and think it and feel it and live it.
Yeah.
When we're thinking about the dosage for using the Udo's oil, when people are looking at your oils, is the dosage consistent, you know, with adults and then children? Is there a standard, or do we go by weight?
Yeah, I've done it. I've done it by a tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight per day.
Perfect.
You know, during pregnancy, mother and fetus combined, during breastfeeding, mother and child combined, when the kid goes on its own food supply, then a tablespoon per 50 pounds for the baby, tablespoon per 50 pounds for the mother.
Okay.
So, and I do that, that's about 25% of calories, so it's fairly conservative. We have athletes that do twice that, so their 50% of their calories come from Udo's oil, and they rant and rave about how flexible and how painless their joints are, how they sleep better, how their skin is great, and how their performance is amazing, and how they recover and heal very quickly, like in a third to a half the time that it usually takes. Essential fatty acids are essential for wound healing too. And then also they bring oxygen into the body, especially the omega-3s, so it takes longer to get tired, to build up oxygen debt and get tired, and it's quicker to burn down the lactic acid that requires oxygen to be converted back. So anything that gets you more oxygen gets you better performance. And we had athletes, we did a couple of studies with the oil, tablespoon per 50, within a month. We worked them to exhaustion before they started, and then they worked to exhaustion after they were on the oil for a month. And in that 1 month, 40 to 60% increase in stamina and performance.
Amazing.
It was huge. I've never seen anything like it. And the original, I heard about that. There was nothing in the literature when I started. But we did a tour through the U.S. in 1988, and Dallas was on one of our stops. And one of the trainers of the Dallas Cowboys came up to me after and said, "You know, we've applied what you say, and we've noticed that our guys can run faster, and not faster, they can run longer, they recover quicker, and their injuries heal in a third to a half the time." We subsequently did a couple of studies, and that's what we found. 40 to 60% increase in stamina, quicker healing, quicker recovery, better sleep, sharper reflexes. And we worked with endurance athletes. The guy who set the American record for longest distance run in 24 hours, 156 miles, Scott Jurek, did that on the oil. He said the oil gave him about 25% increase in energy. We had marathoners, you know, they used to carb load and then they'd hit the wall at 20 miles because the carbs were gone, but the fat burning wasn't turned on, and then they dragged themselves the last 6 miles. We said, no, you're doing it wrong. Carb deplete before you start the race, so your fat burning mechanism is turned on. Because if you're 8% body fat and you burned only half of that, you could run 300 miles on that and you would never hit the wall. And so the ones that took us up on it, they came back and they said, this is amazing. This is amazing. I finished my marathon. I had enough energy. I felt like I could have run another one. Scott Jurek ran 6 marathons in 24 hours.
Do you think that there's any relationship today with the overcrowding in the dermatological offices, with the chronic epidemic levels of eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis? I mean, the offices are booming, and now we have all of these adults with acne again. I thought we were done with that when we were a teenager. Any relationship to oil deficiencies?
But yes, because if you eat a lot of carbs and they turn into hard fats, saturated fats and monounsaturated fats, they don't flow through the skin pores that well. And so then they get stuck there, and then bacteria come in and have a feast. And the protein, you know, the protein lining of the pores, that's always flaking off. So you get that stuff stuck in there, and the bacteria then clean it up. But if you take oils that flow well, and the omega-3 flow best, the omega-6s flow better than the monounsaturated and way better than the saturated. When the oils flow, they carry that debris out to your skin, and it doesn't get stuck, and you don't get bacteria coming in. So that's the acne part. The other is that when your skin has an oil film on it, it's hard for bacteria to get in. And eczema and psoriasis have a lot of bacteria in them. So what we do is we kill them with acid water, pH 2.5 water. I have a water machine that makes that. And so you spray that on the eczema, the psoriasis, and then when it dries, you put oil on it because you want to kill the bacteria because they love to live there because your skin is seeping, and so it's wet and warm, and there's lots of food for them, so they love that. So you kill them with the acid water, then you let it dry, and then you put oil on it to prevent reinfection. When your skin is dry, it gets infected much easier than when your skin is oiled. So there's definitely, and then the other thing is that your skin turns over quite a bit, and the more essential fatty acids you have, the more effective it is in turning over, because that's a healing rebuilding mechanism. And omega-3s are the best fuel for giving cells energy. You know, if they give the body 40 to 60% more energy, they give the cells that too. So your glands work better, your hormones work better. They also improve hormone action on the cell receptor level. They make the cell membranes more flexible. And the membrane on the outside of your body, your skin, they make that work better and replace itself better. And they're also good for the microbiome, the probiotics that are in your digestive tract, and they make chemicals that inhibit bacterial growth in everywhere in your body. So there's a lot of ways that the essential fatty acids make things better. But we got the most feedback on Udo's oil when we sent out a survey, and 76% of the people who responded to the survey ranted and raved how much better their skin was. And the next best thing was 34%. So skin, everybody raved. Do amazing things for skin. Dry skin, you know, dry skin means you need more good oil. If you're in Vegas, like I'll fly from Vancouver to Vegas, it's fairly humid in Vancouver. Within 2 hours, my skin is dry. I'll take 2 or 3 tablespoons of oil. Within 2 or 3 hours, my skin is okay again. It really shows up in a desert. And in winter, people's skin is drier than in summer. You need more oil than in winter because your body burns some of it for energy. And in summer, you don't need to burn oil as much oil for energy because it's hot outside. So in winter, skin is drier. If your skin is dry in winter, you need more good oil.
You know, I have a friend that uses your oil, and she's been using it for years. And the reason she uses it, and she will verbally say, it's because my skin is beautiful when I use it. Yep. And I said, but what about your joints? She goes, oh, yeah, it helps my joints. And I said, what about your balance of your blood work? And she goes, oh, that's all good, too. Yeah. And she goes, and I have energy. And I said, and those are all good. She goes, yeah, but I take it for my skin.
Yeah, of course, because everybody wants to be look good, right? Our greatest sin.
Well, no, everybody wants to feel
better. We all
want
to look good. You know, sometimes we don't even care that we're healthy. We'd like to be even good looking as a corpse. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I do.
We're obsessed with it.
I think that we hit on a whole bunch today.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with looking good.
Absolutely not. You need to feel good in your own skin.
You do it from inside.
Yeah.
Most effectively with the right molecules from nature. And that happens to be omega-3 and omega-6. Together, they form this barrier in the skin and make skin very nice.
Well, I want to remind everybody, if you get the time, make sure you do go to the Facebook page. It's Udo's Choice. It's got a black and white picture of Udo there, and you'll definitely be able to see it. Make sure you like it and stay in touch and send your questions so he can stay in touch and get your answers to you as well. You know, today we talked a lot about oils. We talked a lot about the benefit of these beautiful oils, and hopefully you'll check out some of these Udo's products because they're amazing, and you're going to notice a dramatic difference. We need to take back our health today, and we need to take it back in a way that's going to give us and allow us a way to feel as good as we possibly can. We need the information. We need the education. We need to read the magazines. We need to subscribe to the authors that are putting out good information. We need to listen to the radio shows. And then we need to talk to the people who can answer our questions intelligently and honestly and truthfully. And then we get to formulate our wonderful opinions and start heading in a really healthier direction. I hope you'll take the information, run with it, start to apply some of this great information, and hopefully somewhere along the line, you'll actually start thinking good things about your great health. For more information on the show, please go to my webpage, radiowithjeff.com. Visit my show page on radiomd.com. I thank you for listening. Stay well.